say. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. We got folks out here who need to know that God's still reigning, folks. He's not dead. He's been reigning for as long as I know, and he's reigning now. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He's my Lord. He's my master, and he's still saving today. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Wow. And the church said, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we're about to receive. And we ask, Lord, that you bless our hearts so that we can go out and we can tell others about your goodness. We worship you today because we honor you. We love you. We respect you. We hold you in high esteem because you are the God of all gods. You are the God of the universe, and we thank you, Lord, for everything. Now, for Brenda and Will, who's not able to be here, I could hear in her voice this morning that she is not where she wants to be, but she is where she needs to be right now. So I just pray, Lord, that you'll warm hers and Will's heart right now. And for Kent and Nancy, Lord, I pray that you'll just warm their hearts. And for anyone else, Lord, who would rather be here than to be in the situation they're in, Lord, I just pray that you'll warm their hearts and let them know that you're still on the throne and that you're there for them. And we'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. According to the Word of God, for all of us, mankind, sometimes when we say for man, some folks think we're leaving women out. That's not the case. It's man and woe man. And y'all know why it's woe, right? It's mankind. It's woman and man. So when it says for man, the supreme thing in our life is to worship God, it's all of us. The supreme thing for you. I know that we get caught up in what parents want for their children, and what we want for our own personal lives, and we think the supreme thing is that we have a great job and make a lot of money and buy a lot of things. But if you've lived long enough to know that things don't matter, then you understand more that the supreme thing for mankind is that we worship God above everything. If you honor him, he'll honor you. If you bless his name, he'll bless your name, and your life will be blessed. And all the things that he knows that we need, we'll be blessed with those things. But we should worship him. And we're going to find out today how worship is to be given. Now, I'm not going to give you a recipe for worship. That's not what the scripture is doing here today either. It'll be an open end, but you'll get what's there. And the Lord, if the Lord gives you a recipe, you use it. But how we're supposed to worship the Lord, he says, is in beauty of holiness. In beauty of holiness. And before you get the idea that we're talking about the holiness church as a denomination, I want to wipe that off of the slate. That's not where this is going at all. Because you see, we have different opinions of what holiness is. We passed a bus yesterday up in Chimney Rock, and it had a name of a Pentecostal holiness across the side of it. And somebody said, "Why don't we have a bus that big? I mean, it was two blocks long. Why don't we have a bus that big? Because we're not Pentecostal holiness." I said, "No, I guess somebody just had the money to buy one that big." But when they got off the bus, it was very noticeable that they were Pentecostal holiness. Now, could anybody here tell me why we said that? Come on now. Do what? Boy, y'all are not doing me any favors today at all. Because when they got off, they were dressed like Pentecostal wholeness. Their hair, the lady's hair, was fixed like Pentecostal wholeness. Am I getting an amen here? And I love that if that's where they are, that's fine. But holiness is not in how you take care of your hair. Holiness is not in how long your dress is, ladies. And holiness, men, is not in the things that you do. Are you with me? Because that, I know that we can distinguish between, and we've done it for years, and it's not a bad thing that we say they're of holiness, Pentecostal holiness, or they're the Church of God. We're Baptists, so we look like Baptists, and they look like holiness. Well, that's not what God says at all. He says that we're to worship God in the beauty of holiness. That just happens to be how we worship Him. And holiness will be in how we worship Him. It will not be in how you dress. It will not be in how you speak. It will be in how you worship Him. Amen? Because He's saying so right here. In the beauty of holiness, we worship Him. To live the life of holiness is to live the life of beauty, and that life is the worship way in which we worship Him. Worship suggests that we recognize the throne of God. When you worship Him, you can't worship Him just simply because you show up to a church and we read the scriptures and we have a message and we sing the songs and then we leave. That's not worship. You've heard me say it many times, and I'll say it until the breath leaves my body, because I know that's not what He's talking about when He talks about worship. It's not in how many times you show up during the week that you worship God. It is so that we recognize His throne in heaven and the superiority of that throne, because He is superior, folks. That's why we worship Him. I'm not going to worship anything less than I am, are you? I'm not going to worship a dog. I'm not going to worship a cat or the sun or the moon, and I'm not saying they're less of me, less than me, because I am who I am. I'm just saying I'm not going to do that. I'm going to worship God because He's the one on the throne. He's the one who created everything. He's the one who blesses our lives, and I'm going to notice Him, that He is superior to anything I have ever known or will ever know. And I'm going to get to that low place where I see the absolute reverence to Him. I'm going to recognize Him with absolute reverence. Nothing is going to take away from His reverence. I believe that is the reason my dad and other preachers of old refuse, and I'm the same way. I do not want to be called Reverend Dan Foster. I don't. It's other preachers do it. I'm not knocking them. If that's what they want attached to their name, that's fine. I don't want that, because I'm not reverent. I'm reverent in how I act toward God, but I am not reverent as far as some folks said. So don't call me reverent. Call me Pastor Dan. I'd rather that, or just call me Dan. I don't care. But just let's recognize the one who needs to be recognized. Worship is a lifestyle. We're familiar with that word, because we have people who want to recognize people who are not right in their moral life, and they want to call that a lifestyle. That's not the case. It may be your lifestyle, but it's not a lifestyle that God ordained. God ordained a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is right here. If our lifestyle is not according to the book that He has given us to live by, then it's just an added-on lifestyle that we want to make it look like it's okay, because it's everybody has their own lifestyle. Well, that's not so. Worship does not have an on and off switch. You can't turn worship on Sunday morning and then turn it off after Sunday's over and get into Monday, and maybe turn it back on Wednesday night. We can't do that, because it's not an on and off switch. I would say if you haven't worshiped God for the last 6 days, you're going to have a hard time being prepared to worship Him today. If I'm talking too fast now, y'all tell me. Or if you're thinking, say, I'm thinking. I want to know you're either with me in the scriptures here today or we're getting there, because I want to get there. Right now, I'm just laying the groundwork for this message, and we're talking about worship. How did we come to the house of God today to worship? Have we already been worshiping Him? Was He worshiped Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? I say He must be. Yesterday, when we went up on Chimney Rock and we looked out, we got all the way to the top and we looked out over the vastness of that land, and we were up there just with our eyes so big and wide saying, wow, wow. And God made this. We're not wowing the vastness of the land. We're not wowing what we saw. We're wowing the one who created what we saw. We're worshiping Him. We're not worshiping the things. So we have one to worship, and that's Him. Now, here's what He begins to say when He began Psalm 96. And He says, I want you to sing unto the Lord. Now, there's a reason for singing unto the Lord. Because all glory belongs to God. All glory. And I know you know that. You've said that yourself, or you've been taught that all your life. So in verse 1, He says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. So now we know what we're going to sing. It's not that there's a book and He says, turn to page so-and-so. No, you won't find that. And you won't have to worry about what song it's going to be, because He'll put the song in you. You'll just be singing it. It'll be one of those things that you're just going to sing because you love Him for who He is and what He is. You're going to sing a new song. Now, you might be wondering what this new song is. Well, I'm going to get in there and tell you. By the way, this is just a side note. Have you ever wondered what the center verse in the Bible is from Genesis to Revelation? Have you ever wondered what the center verse is, the very center of the Bible? Well, it's verse 11 of Psalm 96. That's the center verse of the Bible. Now, let's go on from where we are. The Lord said, I want you to sing unto the Lord, and I want you to sing, all glory belongs to God. The Lord's people here are encouraged to sing. Now, if you're a child of God and you understand what He's been to you, what He did for you in your salvation, you probably don't need a lot of encouragement. I've had people to say to other people, don't encourage Dan. I don't need any encouragement, especially when it comes to worshiping my Lord. I don't need encouragement. I know what He's done for me. I know who He is. I know what He is, and I don't need that encouragement, because I'm a happy person, and you're a happy people, because we don't have a gloomy God. Now, I've been in some churches where it was desperation from the time I went in till the time I left, and I wondered, why in the world was I there? I never heard anything about how great God was. I just heard about how bad man is. Of course, we know about sin, and we know about man's sin, but that's not what God's all about. He's all about taking care of that sin. And he's not going to be all doom and gloom. He's going to be there to make you what He wants you to be. He wants you to be a person who can sing. He wants you to be a person who will worship Him every day of our lives. We get up in the morning and we say, praise the Lord, because He opened my eyes and He's caused me to go out and see. So what are we going to sing? Well, we're going to sing the new song. And I know already since I said that, you've been wondering what's the new song. Well, others have sang this song forever. Same song. Don't have to worry about what page it's on, because it's not a matter of the page. Everyone for all times has sang this song. I gotta tell you that the first ones who ever sang this song was the ones who were in heaven. The angels in heaven. The angels in heaven. And here's where they began to sing. You tell me if they had a reason to sing. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Come on now. If you're going to get spiritual in worship, we got to get it right here. If you haven't gotten it already, if the Holy Spirit hasn't reached in and touched you and warmed your heart already, let him do that right now. When the angels were there in heaven with him and he said, "Let there be light," they said, "Well, hallelujah, glory to God, we're going to sing. This is absolutely wonderful." What if you had been there in heaven and he said, "Let there be light," and the lights came on? Huh? Then he said, and God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And you said, "Wow, look at that. Can you believe that just happened in front of our eyes? Let God have glory for this. This is him." And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place." You say, "How did that happen?" I don't know, but God said it and it did. Glory to God. And then he said, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." The grass starts growing. You don't have to worry about how much fertilizer you put on it and how much water it gets. He said, "Let there be grass. Let there be other things that are beautiful." He said, "Let them grow." And the angel said, "Did you see that? Wow, let God have the glory. I'm going to sing a new song." And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament and the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for 4 days." We wait on the four seasons to come. He created the four seasons. And the angels saw the four seasons come by in one flash. Wow! I wait all year for October just to see God change the color of the leaves from what they are to their natural, which is the colors. You think it's green is the natural? Green is not the natural. The colors, it happens in October, that's the natural colors. And I wait, and the angels saw it all. They saw spring, summer, fall, and winter go right by their faces. And they began to sing. And God said, "Make the great two lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night." He made the stars. They saw the sun and the moon at the same time. I wake up in the morning and see the sun, and I give God the glory because he's saying, "Good morning, Dan. I'm giving you another day to live." And I go at night and I look up and I see, just a few nights ago, did you see how pretty that moon was? It was so clear. It was absolutely so clear. And I look up and I don't see the moon and worship the moon. I see the God of the moon. I see the one who said, "Let there be a moon, and hang it right here." And I see one who said, "Let the sun be here, and hang it right here." I see the one who made the universe, who created the galaxies, and the angels were there, watched it all happen. And they said, "Oh, let God have the glory. He is so wonderful." And this was all created for us. We see it little bit by little bit. He did it all, and he did it all for me. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." We go out and experience one bird at a time. We go out to the waters when we go fishing and experience one fish at a time. The angels saw it all being created at one time. What a glorious sight that must have been. It's no wonder the seraphim sang. It's no wonder they saw it right before their eyes. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind." Everything was created after its kind. Mankind wants to mess that up. God didn't create man and woman to mess that up. He created everything to produce after its own kind. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Woo! "Let us make God in our image." And the angels saw God making mankind. How beautiful it must have been. Not in just his image, but in his likeness. Will that make you sing? Because you were created in his image and his likeness? Oh, No wonder the angels sing. Do you remember when Israel got down to the Red Sea? They were dead. In their own minds, they were dead. The Egyptian army was coming behind them. They had nowhere to go. The mountains were on this side. The Red Sea was here. They couldn't go across, and they couldn't climb the mountains. They were dead. They were trapped. They couldn't go. And God said, Moses, if you'll believe me, I'll save the whole nation right here. If you'll believe me, I'll save the whole nation right here. And Moses did. Can you imagine being there and you see the waters roll back and dry land? Yeah. Not muddy. The waters roll back and there's dry land. And he says, let's go, children. Let's go, children. And they went. And on the other side, I got a feeling some of them started singing before they got over there. I got a feeling the song was happening. The new song was there. And they began to sing. But when they got on the other side, they're like Tom. They was doing that, Ben was doing that dance. They were singing and dancing on the other side. Yeah, read it. It's there. They were feeling good. God had just done for them what no man could have done. They were now singing a new song. Wow, that's worship, folks. And that can't just happen on Sunday morning. That has to be 6 days a week so that you can come on Sunday morning and say, I got to tell you what God did for me the last 6 days. God's been good to me, and I want to worship Him. I want to praise Him for everything He's done. Woo, mercy. No wonder the Israelites sang, amen. You would too, right? Well, we have our opportunity. The redeemed are going to sing in glory. Huh? Oh, yeah. It's the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb. That's the new song for the redeemed, folks. Here's how it goes. Oh, thou art worthy. Because we know what He did. We know what He did. It's the same as the angels seeing what they saw and the Israelites seeing what they saw. We're going to know what He did. And He says, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's enough to start singing right now. Because you see, in verse 2, He says, oh, it's a necessary song. You don't have a choice. This is not an option. It's not an option to sing. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, been redeemed, you need to sing. Because somebody needs to hear you sing, right, Aaron? Somebody needs, it's a necessary song. In verse 2, He says, declare or sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. When you go to work, somebody ought to see the salvation of God in your life because you're singing for what He did for you. When you go shopping, somebody ought to hear something coming from you because they look at your face. Sometimes you can hear people saying stuff and singing stuff before they ever open their mouth. Their face is speaking. It's pleasant. It's happy. Something's going on inside because it's showing outside. Amen? So He says it's a necessary song. We can't be without it, folks. We would be terrible if we were without it. So in verse 3, He says, where should we sing this new song? Well, He tells us in verse 3 where to sing it. Declare His glory among the heathen. Declare His glory among the heathen. That's the folks who are lost. We got to declare it. Declare it means it's the same word as a man with a trumpet. That might sound silly, but it gets my point across. We're to declare. We're to let the world know why we're singing the song we're singing. He says, declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders. Has He ever done a wonder in your life? Have you said, oh, God, thank you for that. That was so good. Lord, thank you for blessing my life. And His wonders among all people. Can't leave anybody out. You don't get to choose who you sing to. You just go singing. And I promise you it'll happen. Look at verse 4. For the Lord is great. This is the reason. The reason why I sing. The reason why you sing. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Now this is a verse you've heard all your life and you kind of hang in there on it, don't you? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Sing it. Sing it. You see, I don't know the harmony of it. I don't know the what is it called?
Melody.
The melody. Thank you, melody. The melody. I don't know the melody. Well, you don't have to know the melody. The good thing about the song, the new song is you sing it in your melody. I'll sing it in my melody. We're singing it for how it's blessed us, and it's amazing that when you get together, it's like a congregational hymn. Everything sounds good in a congregational hymn, right? Yeah, because everybody's singing from the happiness of their heart, and it makes a difference. So he says, he's greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Woo, mercy. The reason we're to sing is because of the fear of the Lord. I don't fear him that I need to wear a hard hat. He's not going to take a sword and cut my head off if I mess up. Huh? Actually, the thing that causes us to fear him is that he has the power to reach down to us and forgive us of our sin. That awful thing, sin. He's able to forgive us of that. He takes care of my family when I can't take care of them. He takes care of my health when I can't take care of my health. He heals when I need to be healed. And he'll take me on to glory when I need to go on to glory. He does all this. That's who he is. But I fear that I stand in awe. That word fear is to stand in awe of his power. To stand in awe of his omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, everything. We stand in awe of that because he is everything. He is great, folks. Look at verse 5 when he says, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The angels saw it. We get to see it right here. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he created the heavens? If you believe that, you see it. Because you see, we see with eyes of faith. I'm not looking directly and seeing how the angels saw it. I'm saying, Lord, I believe you. And when I believe him, I see it. I know he created everything. The other gods couldn't do a thing. He did it all. He created it all. And then, how awesome is God? The reason that I sing is because my God, and I know our young people like that song, an awesome, awesome God. Is that what it is? Yeah. And they like that word awesome. I talk to a lot of young people, and when I say something that's kind of great or, you know, big or something, they'll say, awesome. Awesome. I say, hey, oh, it is awesome, isn't it? Well, I tell you, my God's awesome. My God's great. That word's used a lot in the Bible, by the way. But he is awesome. Look at verse 6, because he says in verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Oh, I got to read that again. I got to read that again. Watch it. Watch every, but feed on every word. It's kind of like eating beans. I know you eat them by the spoonful, but you notice how many is in the spoon, don't you? And you want to taste each bean. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to food. And he says, honor. Take a bite of it. What does it mean to you to honor him? Honor and majesty. Majesty. That's his. The honor and the majesty are his. Are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We look at flowers and say, isn't that beautiful? We look at a sunrise or a sunset. We look at a mountain view or the ocean and we say, that's beautiful. I'm going to tell you what's really pretty is a house full of people worshiping God. If you want to know something really beautiful, because it's beautiful in the eyes of God. He looks down and he sees the worshipful hearts and he says, wow, that's beautiful. That's where I wanted my children to be. And I want them to sing the song of worship. I want them to sing the song of beauty. And so he in verse 6, he says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Woo! Then what do we do with that? Well, he's looking forward to a time when Jesus is going to come back and take us out of here. You know that, don't you? When he talks about honor and majesty, because he says honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. He's looking forward to a time when that's going to happen. We're going to sing. If you're not already singing, you'll sing. You'll sing. We will sing. We ought to sing because we see it by eyes of faith today. All gifts belong to God. Look at verse 7. All gifts belong to God. If you will notice, he does not mention money at the first of this verse. He says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. First thing. We got to get first things first. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. Then he said, you thought you were out, didn't you? No. He said, bring an offering. The offering is something that you can put in your hand. The glory is something that's in your heart. He says, I want your heart before I have your money. You know, when Paul went down, he went down to ask the churches for help for his missionary journeys, and he went to this church, and after they gave, he said, I want to thank God for you because you not only did what I asked you to do, but first of all, you gave yourselves. That's what he said. First of all, you gave yourselves. You see, we don't have a problem with a pocketbook or a billfold, do we? No. We don't. If we have given to God our hearts and lives and we understand who he is to us, folks, we're here for a short time. We're going home to be with him forever. I want to worship the one that I'm going to be with forever. I don't want to worship anybody down here who's temporary. I want to worship the eternal one. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. Come and be with his people. Come and be with him. He said, where two or more are gathered together, where is he? He's in the midst. He's here with us. He said, come on in. Bring your glory and your honor and your majesty and come on in. Bring your offering and come on in. Let's worship. We worship in tithes and offerings.